So we'll have a quick special class on a little bit of current events. It's become known in this past week that there was someone who has succeeded in conning many, many people, and most people. I don't think there was anyone who knew what a con artist he was. And many people thought he was very holy. And then it turns out that he was very far from that. The Talmud tells us that Korach was viewed as a very pious person. Korach was one of the people who carried the Ark, the Aron HaKodesh. He had the Ark on his shoulder. So he did have certain exceptional qualities, but he had certain fatal flaws. Fatal flaws that caused them to lose everything and threaten all of Jewish life. And in the end, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's either me or him. If I'm supposed to continue with my job, you have to finish him off in a very obvious way, because otherwise he's threatening everything the Torah stands for. So you see someone who was held in very high regard, the high courts valued him, everyone looked up to him, and yet he was not such a positive person. The Talmud tells us that in the time of the first exile, when the Jews were in Babylon, so there were two con artists who walked around saying they were prophets, and people believed them. And they would tell the Babylonian women, the non-Jewish women, that God sent them to sleep with them. And they'd sleep with married women, and they'd commit adultery and all kinds of crimes in the name of God. And they became so famous, and people thought they were so holy, that they reached the point that they came in as doctors to treat the king's daughter, Nebuchadnezzar's daughter. And they told her that God told them that the cure for her was that she should sleep with them. And she said, okay, let me just ask my father. And she went to her father, Nebuchadnezzar, and asked him, Dad, what am I supposed to do? They're saying it in the name of God. Now, we know the Jewish God. He made all kinds of miracles. Am I supposed to listen to them? So Nebuchadnezzar calls them in, and Nebuchadnezzar says, what's going on here? And they say, God said so. See, it's not a new thing that people say in the name of God that women are supposed to sleep with them, and they take holiness as a source to do the most defiled things. And Nebuchadnezzar says to them, gee, I had three men of God by me, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and I threw them into a furnace, and they walked out alive. So if you guys are men of God, we'll put you to the test. I'll throw you into a furnace, you walk out alive, and we'll listen to you. So they said, but it's not going to work. They said, they were three pious people, and we're only two. And God only does such a miracle for three, so we can't do that. So you see, they were on the ball. So Nebuchadnezzar says, fine, choose a third pious person to go with you, and I'm throwing you all into the furnace. And the two of them said, fine, we want the high priest, Yoshua. There was a high priest at the time, Yoshua, Kohen Gadol. And Nebuchadnezzar summons him, and he ties all three of them up and throws them into a burning furnace. The two of them burnt right away. They burnt to death. And Yoshua walks out of the furnace, and he's alive. And when he was in the furnace, though, he did not have the same miracles as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. His hair got scorched to drop, and his clothing smelled of smoke. So when he comes out, Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, I know you're pious. Fine. But I saw Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their hair wasn't scorched, and their clothing didn't smell. So why, by you, does it? Why is it scorched, and why does it smell? So it's an interesting thing. You see that he sees a miracle, you know, but I saw that one already, right? That doesn't impress him. He's got questions. So Yoshua tells him, he says, they were three pious people. You threw me down with two wicked people. So I was affected by that. I couldn't have the same miracle as them. They had the merits of three, and I had the detriments of two. So the Talmud says that was just a line he told Nebuchadnezzar. The real reason why his clothing stank was because his daughters had married non-Jewish women. And even though he rebuked them, he should have been more forceful in his rebuke. So even though he asked them not to do it, but he wasn't forceful enough. And that came to play when he was such a tzaddik, he merited an open miracle. But there was still something there that Hashem said, hey, your clothing do smell badly because there is something that's wrong in your home. The verse openly says that Eli's two sons, Hophni and Pinchas, when the women would come up to the temple to bring sacrifices, so they would sleep with them, commit adultery. Although our sages have a disagreement about whether both brothers sinned or only one of them did, and the Pasuk blames both, or maybe neither did, they both did something that was of a lesser weight, but the Pasuk calls it something so bad because nonetheless it was the desecration of Hashem's name. But there is the Pasuk Pshat, saying the Pshat in the Pasuk says, people came to the temple to bring sacrifices. They wanted to come close to holiness. And the two people who were supposed to be responsible for representing the temple desecrated Hashem's name and took advantage of innocent women who came up there and did acts that are unheard of. So in our history, unfortunately, we have found that the idea that people are in a position of leadership and in a position that represents holiness does not mean that they won't make mistakes and become evil people. Chafni and Pinchas destroyed not only their family, they destroyed their future as well. Their father was destroyed because of what they did. Their whole family lost the right to the Kuna Gdola. For generations to come, they were cursed that their children would not live out their lives. Anyone born to that family has to do special things in order to merit living a normal life. Otherwise, they're going to die young. And that's because of what they did. But coming back to the basic concept, we have seen time and again in our history the people that we would look up to and we think, hey, you're supposed to represent God and His Torah. There have been instances where people did not. And the fact that they were in a position of leadership does not excuse their behavior. On the contrary, it makes the behavior much more severe. It makes it that Hashem says, I'm going to take them to task because they're destroying my name. And when we see such things, it's very saddening. It's mamash chilul Hashem, the desecration of Hashem's name. And people shouldn't look for excuses. The idea of judging someone favorably is when there's room to judge favorably. But when it's clear that someone's wrong and someone's evil, then someone's evil. There's no reason to start saying, no, maybe this and maybe that. I'm sorry, people start asking me questions today. The bus driver asked me, can it be the man's a prophet? And I said, no, the man's evil. So we thought he was pious and we made a mistake. And that's it. It's not the first time in our history that people have fooled us. It says that when Joshua was leader, so Joshua was so great that the sun stopped for him. And Joshua was so great that when Yeshua would pray, he had no question whether his prayer would be answered. That's what the Talmud says. Yeshua could talk to the Ribbon Shalom, he could pray and be confident that what he asked for would come true. So that's an extraordinary piety. And Yeshua was a prophet, he's the reflection of Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, it says that when the Givonim came, and they said, we came from a faraway land, we wanted to join the Jewish people, Yeshua was fooled by them. So you have a great, great prophet, the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you have these people, non-Jews, who decided to fool him, and they succeeded. The verse says in Joshua that they succeeded. So one opinion says that they succeeded in fooling the Nesiim completely and Yeshua partially. But bottom line, they tricked Yeshua. And it's not clear whether they tricked Moshe too, because such a thing happened earlier on in history where non-Jews came and said, we wanted to join the Jewish people, and they made up a whole story. And Moshe also gave them a certain amount of credit, and it's not clear among the commentaries whether they were able to trick Moshe. So this idea that people can fool us shouldn't cause us to be disheartened. We work with the system we have, and sometimes we're going to make mistakes, and sometimes people will fool us. We have to maintain a certain clarity of what's right and wrong, and just because a person has a title doesn't mean you go with them. It means you listen to a degree, but you also check it out, and if something seems weird, you ask another rabbi, hey, is what he's saying, does that really make sense? Is that really right? Yes?
You feel that in these cases, like with a Korach, or like with someone, that they may not have been evil all along. They did things they're now defined as evil, because when Hashem, if this guy was, scribe in a tefillin factory somewhere, or another pirate, didn't have the opportunity for his Yetzer Hara to run wild by having all this power, he might have been fine. The famous, I did it because I could.
I don't know. So I don't know. I wasn't willing to hear the details. I don't go online.
Once somebody does X like a Korach, but you gave a great example, but just before, if anyone does some kind act, some pious act, some good act, It's what defines you. And the Korach example of fooling people also, even after he was taken into the ground, 14,000 people. How could you do this to great Korach? So, you know, it's definitely powerful, this stuff. But I just wondered if someone is a con artist all along, or somewhere along the line, his Yetzer got to him and he became. And that still defines him, and no excuse, I agree.
I don't know. What they're saying is that it's not so. What they're saying is that he's been doing this for a very long time. That's what they're saying. I have no way of knowing, and I don't. Right.
No, you know very little.
I'm not. I'm trying not to be on top of the news because.
In your position, maybe you have to, because people will come to you and ask you stuff.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think the approach we see from Chazal, unfortunately, in our history, we've seen this before, and it's a terrible desecration of Hashem's name when it happens. And we have to maintain a certain balance. Just because one person's evil doesn't mean everyone's evil. It should remind us that if someone's doing something weird, we should check it out. We shouldn't just buy into it. You know, when my kids go to school, so I talk to them beforehand. You're supposed to respect your Rebbe. You're supposed to value the Torah he teaches you. And yet, if you feel something he's doing looks weird or feels weird, come and talk about it. You know, you don't have blind faith. Check it out. You never know. We have a story of Gehazi. Elisha, the prophet, has a student who he gives full charge of his academy. And this student is very dishonest. And this student is immoral. And Elisha, for whatever reason, didn't see it. And the second the student got leprosy and was removed from his post, the one time Elisha catches him being dishonest, so then suddenly there's no more room in the academy. So many students can pile in because he kept students away. So you ask yourself, Elisha's a prophet. Didn't he see it? And obviously, no. Obviously, he did not see it. Because once Gehazi was kicked out of the post, it says they needed to build a whole new academy. There were so many new students that came to learn by Elisha. So you have the great Elisha, and yet you see his student was able to con him. He was able to trick him. So the fact that people can con us, yes, people can con us, and even great people can be conned. Yoshua ben Nun could be conned. Elisha could be conned. Yes, people can trick us. There's no guarantee. And the Rambam also addresses this when he speaks about us accepting prophets. He says, we put them to the test and we try to verify. And at the end of the day, can it be that someone will trick us? Yes, says the Rambam. It can be that someone will deceive us. We have to work with the system, and with the system we do the best we can. But there's always a possibility someone will trick us. There's no guarantee. We have to work with the system and verify. The Navi in Isaiah and Yeshaya tells us that at one point Yeshaya was giving a prophetic vision, and along came a man named Hananiah ben Azur, and he took metal horns. He had like this hat, I guess like the Vikings with metal horns, and he charged Yeshaya with his horns, and he said, "Ba'elet enagach et Aram, just as I've attacked you with these horns, so to you, the king of Israel, will attack Aram and be victorious." And Yeshaya stood back and he said, "If God told you to say that, okay." He didn't tell me. God told me we're going to lose the war. But if you were just told we're going to win, so maybe you're telling the truth, but time will tell, because I told the true prophecy. If maybe the Jews got new merits and Hashem changed the prophecy and he gave a prophecy for good, that could be. We will soon find out. But you see, even Yeshaya looks at this false prophet and he says, God didn't tell me that. And I told the truth. When I said my prophecy, I didn't lie. And when you give a prophecy that bad things will happen, well, sometimes Hashem says the people merited enough that I'll take it back. So I told the true prophecy that bad things would happen. But did you tell a true prophecy or not? Well, we're about to see. And you see that again. Yeshaya could not stand there and say, you're a liar. Yeshaya couldn't say, it's obvious to me that Hashem didn't say that. So there's a certain balance. On the one hand, our faith can't be shaken. You have to say, okay, there are good people in the world. Not everyone is a liar. My father always used to tell us to pay attention to the Pasuk in Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, Ani amauti v'chofzi kol adam kozev. I said when I was in haste, everyone's a liar. So it's talking about a time in David's life where King Saul had him surrounded, and he was on top of a mountain, and King Saul and 3,000 men were closing in on him, and there was no natural way he could think of that he would get out of that bind. It seemed certain to him that he was going to be killed. A miracle happened, and the Philistines attacked from the other side, and Saul had to go and deal with the Philistine attack. But he knew it was moments until his death. And he's standing up there on top of the mountain, and he says, everyone's a liar. Even Shmuel, the prophet, who said, I'd be king. Where's this prophecy now? Everyone's a liar. So my father always told us, he said, there are times in life when you're so disappointed, you feel like everyone's a liar. You have a hard time trusting anyone. You have to remember, David HaMelech said, Bechofzi. It was when I was in haste that I felt that way. Even when we're disappointed, we shouldn't be quick to say everyone else is a liar. Okay, this person's been proven to be a liar. This person's proven to be a very big disappointment. And that's very sad. But we can't allow that to bring us to a point where we say everyone else is a liar as well. And it's difficult.
What was the name of the
I don't remember. I don't think so.
What is it?